And good morning. Welcome back to From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and this program is made possible by the Commemorative Air Force. And the mission of the CAF is education, such that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Visit the CAF tent in the southeast corner of Boeing Centennial Plaza, or visit them on the web at commemorativeairforce.org. And we are going to celebrate the 100th anniversary of U.S. Coast Guard Aviation. Joining us to talk more about that, Rear Admiral David R. Callahan, commander of the 8th District of the Coast Guard. And as I was reading through your little bio here, I did not realize how large the 8th District actually is. Yeah. You encompass everything from the Gulf all the way up to the Mississippi.
Yeah, I get that a lot. A lot of people don't realize that. Yeah, I do have the Gulf of Mexico, the Outer Continental Shelf, and from Florida over to Texas and the coastal regions. But people forget about the inland river system of the United States, and that's always a part that is always there, and it's key to our national security and economy. But it's 10,500 miles of maritime waterway throughout the heartland. So my area actually goes up to Minneapolis-St. Paul. That's what makes the job interesting, the river systems, the coastal, and then the offshore.
Excellent. And as we mentioned, 100th anniversary of aviation. Absolutely. With the Coast Guard. But the Coast Guard itself goes back quite a few years before that as well.
That's right. We, the Coast Guard's this year will be 226 years old. We started in 1790. Alexander Hamilton himself created the Coast Guard. And so we go back to the very founding fathers of this nation. Our nation's smallest armed force, one of the five armed forces. But long history that goes back before our 100 years of aviation.
Excellent. What type of aircraft do you have here at Oshkosh?
Well, we are happy to have four aircraft. I believe we have four here. We have the HC-130J here. We have our HC-144 aircraft. We have an H-60 and an H-65 helicopter. Those two helicopters. Then you'll also see out there an HU-16 Albatross, privately owned, that's in Coast Guard colors, that part of our heritage that we're so happy to have here today, too.
Which is the one that's the yellow and black?
Yes, so the yellow aircraft is the H-60 helicopter. Okay. And folks might notice, if you're out there looking at Coast Guard aircraft, a couple of them don't look the typical Coast Guard colors.
Yeah.
When you see a Coast Guard helicopter or a Coast Guard aircraft, you're thinking orange and white.
Right.
And that's, of course, international SAR colors. But we weren't always painted that way over our 100-year history. If you go back to the 30s and the 40s, a lot of our aircraft were painted yellow. As much as it's not a very pretty color, it's actually a very visible color.
Yes.
And that H-60 is painted up in our legacy yellow color in honor of those giants on whose shoulders we stand.
Okay. Well, that explains it, because we were here on the announcer stand yesterday, I believe, or could have been the day before, and this bright yellow helicopter taxied
That's
in
right.
with the black nose, and we're like, wow, who's that?
Yeah.
And then we saw U.S. Coast Guard on the side, and so we weren't sure if it was a new paint scheme or,
it's a heritage, vintage legacy, and there's a few of them, and they're actually out there in the operational fleet that we've painted those colors. Our HC-144 here, you'll notice, is a blue color, and those are normally orange and white, but this one's blue, and it represents the color of some of our aircraft back in the 30s and 40s, some of our fixed-wing aircraft. So we're proud to display that around. Those are the same aircraft, though, that you'll see doing search and rescue missions out there. They're just because they're painted a different color doesn't mean they don't do the business, and that's what's so special about having them here today.
Well, and I think for many of us, our exposure to Coast Guard aviation has kind of expanded with the reality TV shows, the Deadliest Catch, the fishing shows, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And you've got, mostly the rescue swimmers and C-130s looking for ships in distress, that sort of thing. And so that's the dramatic end of it. But there's so much more to Coast Guard aviation than just search and rescue.
There is. And search and rescue, we always call it, it's our bread and butter.
Right.
It's what we're known for most and what the public expects, quite frankly, of us. We're as good as anybody is in the world at it. But when you look at the Coast Guard's missions, the statutory missions we have, and we are under the Department of Homeland Security, one of the five armed forces yet not under Department of Defense and under the Homeland Security, we have a very big security mission, a very big Homeland Security, Homeland Defense mission. And when you look at the threats against the United States these days, they're not all offshore and all overseas. There's some of them are coastal, and we're doing things out there security-wise to protect our coasts and protect our borders. So you'll see drug interdiction missions going on. You'll see plain security missions happening, fisheries enforcement. There's a whole spectrum of non-search and rescue missions we do in the Coast Guard.
And obviously, that your missions, I'm sure, have shifted since 9/11 into more of a security, making sure ports and waterways are safe and secure.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit of ship traffic that moves goods and services all over this country that we just don't think about.
That's correct. I mean, it's, if you just look at that inland rivers number I gave you, the 10,500 miles, that's a $400 billion annual economic impact for our nation. That's just first order effects. So, yeah, the stakes are incredibly high. It's not just a national economic issue. It's a national security issue. You know, when those ships don't come in and out of port safely and deliver those goods and take those goods, in this just-in-time economy we have today, things stop. Things don't happen. So our aviation assets out there performing those missions as part of that are very important.
Good. With fisheries what kind of aircraft patrol that?
Well, you would see, our fisheries missions, you mentioned some of those TV shows, and
right.
You see the Deadliest Catch, many of us in the Coast Guard Aviation have served up in the Alaska area, and the Bering Sea, one of the most fertile fishing grounds in the United States in our territory. We'll use our C-130 aircraft from Kodiak, Alaska, to patrol the Bering Sea. We'll use shipboard deployed helicopters, the H-65 Dolphin that you see over on the flight line today is a shipboard capable aircraft, so we'll put them on Coast Guard cutters to do that fisheries mission. And they're out there not only for enforcing the fisheries laws and regulations, they're out there actually doing search and rescue because we want to be close enough to be able to help those folks who get in trouble out there.
So. Right. How far out on the from the coasts do you cover?
Well, we're as far as it's necessary, but
okay.
you'll see most of our aviation assets probably operating within 200 miles of the coast, but we've pushed further than that when we need to. And particularly our C-130 aircraft, those long legs on the C-130s can get out there and reach out. And the H-60s, our medium-range helicopters, can get pretty far. One of the ways we extend that range in certain areas, particularly my area of responsibility down the Gulf of Mexico, is we'll leapfrog or lily pad off of oil rigs. We'll fly out a couple hundred miles, land on an oil rig, refuel on the oil rig and continue out and with fixed wing cover over top of us.
Sure. So. Talking with Rear Admiral David Callahan, the commander of the 8th District of the U.S. Coast Guard. How did you get into Coast Guard aviation?
It's interesting. We were just talking to some of the EAA folks, and boy, they bring back some memories for me. I started in aviation before I was even in the military. I soloed at the age of 16 and got my license at 17 because my father saw that I was looking to the sky a lot, and he and I had made a deal, and he helped me pay for my flight lessons. But I started then. I went to the Coast Guard Academy, and I received an appointment there, and wasn't necessarily stuck on aviation at that time. I was a shipboard officer when I graduated for 2 years, and then was accepted to the Naval Flight Training Program. That's where we train our pilots in the Coast Guard in Pensacola, and that's how my aviation career started. So the Coast Guard's a multi-mission organization, and it's not just about aviation, but that caught my eye, and I've appreciated that and loved it ever since.
Good, good. Favorite aircraft?
Well, for me, it's the Dolphin, the
okay.
H-65 Dolphin. That's where most of my flight time is in, and it's quite frankly, it's the most reliable and successful aircraft we've had in the history of our service. It's been around since 1985. I was the first flight school student to go into it, so feeling pretty old these days when I see those. But we've started in the A model. We're into the E model. We'll see the E models roll out next year. So we've taken that aircraft and rebuilt it, but it is a workhorse for us. I love all of our aircraft, but I think that one, you just see so much out there, and for the past 30 years, it's been a real workhorse for us.
Any particular missions that stand out in your logbook?
Well, for me, and it happened later on in my career, but Hurricane Katrina. I'd just taken over command of one of our largest air stations, which is in Mobile, Alabama. It's our training center, and within 2 weeks of taking command, Katrina hit, and we were right in ground zero, and for the next month, it was around-the-clock operations, and the experiences I had with the entire field of Coast Guard aviation rallying down there, a lot of things didn't go right with Katrina, but the Coast Guard was one of the things that did go right, and I'm proud to say that, and we were flying in that storm before it even passed, and But to be involved in that operation, to be part of the leadership of that operation, was something I'll always remember. And I've said this before, but I'm haunted by the magnitude of the heroism that I witnessed during Hurricane Katrina by Coast Guard aviators and Coast Guard in general. Folks were out there, around the clock. In aviation, we saved 12,000 people during Katrina, and just in aviation. The Coast Guard saved 30,000 total, but it was an extraordinary response that, that goes down in the annals of my logbook as something that I'll always remember.
And I'm sure you'd like to recognize all of the Coast Guard members, not only in aviation, but throughout the service.
That's right. I mean, for the Coast Guard, if you look, we're a maritime service, so aviation is just one of the ways we deal with our missions, and it's always a team out there. We have folks who are ship drivers, cuttermen, law enforcement specialists, maritime environmental professionals. We have a whole gamut of missions out there, but it takes a team. Everybody knows that. Any time you're out there, it's one team, one fight, and aviation is just a part of that team for the Coast Guard. So we're small, but we're effective, and we're generally there wherever you look. We're there. So
excellent. And of course, you're always looking for new recruits.
That's right. And thanks for leading me into that. It's because we are a small service, we don't have the recruiting budgets some of the other services have, so we really rely on a lot of word of mouth and a lot of exposure. And of course, an event like this that EAA puts on with 500,000 people, I mean, the chance for people to actually see us is a wonderful opportunity. And what we want to do is show the younger generations that there is a great mission in the Coast Guard, and it's a wonderful career. And we certainly want to, anybody who's interested and sees those aircraft, I'd encourage them to get up and talk to those air crews and learn a little bit more about what we do, because we're always going to want to show you what we do, and we're always looking for the next generation of Coast Guardsmen.
Good. And we'll see you tonight at Theater in the Woods?
Yeah, looking forward to that. I when they asked me to do that, I was like, wow, that's first of all, I'm a little intimidated. This is a pretty pretty incredible crowd here. But no, this is it's a wonderful opportunity for me to talk a little bit about the 100 years of Coast Guard aviation and our heritage and why we all connect here as in aviation together, regardless of our organizations. We all have that bond. We all have that common bond. And for us, it goes back to the Wright brothers. It truly does for the Coast Guard. We were there. And a lot of people don't know that story, but I'll tell that story tonight.
Okay. Sounds good. Rear Admiral David Callahan, commander of the 8th District of the U.S. Coast Guard, celebrating 100 years of Coast Guard aviation. More tonight at Theater in the Woods. And thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Steve.